Again, would you join me in prayer? Holy and loving one, we have come here this day to praise you and to find strength in you. And we know, Lord, that your word, as it is open to us, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit now upon this congregation, that we may truly meditate upon your word, and that each of us may hear the message that you would have us hear. To your glory. Amen. It seems that we have finished another week with a lot of bad headlines and a lot of brokenness in this world. Two of the things that certainly struck us this week was the suicide of two very important people in our society. And it just brought forth our understanding of how broken our world is. God's beautiful creation, and yet we have so often broken it. We live in a very broken world. Now, that's not a profound thing to say, because everyone in this sanctuary understands that we see the brokenness around us. So I guess the question is, how do we cope with it? How do we deal with the brokenness in our own lives, in the church, and in our society? A few months ago, I decided that I would try something different and that I would kind of run away from it. I decided that I would stop watching television, particularly the evening news, and that maybe if I could just walk away from that I would get away from some of the brokenness around me. But it didn't work, because you see, the brokenness, we cannot run away from it, because the thing is, we are all broken. And I speak for myself, and probably for all of you. We are a broken people in this beautiful world. So we must find a way to cope. How do we cope? How do we cope with the brokenness around us? What has God told us to do? How does he instruct us in Scripture today? In a nearby city, there is a house, and it is known as Spite House. Spite House. And it stands as a monument to the brokenness of this world. It seems that a multimillionaire had a piece of property that he wanted to sell. He had inherited it, and it was a rather strange little piece of property. It was only 10 feet wide and 100 feet long. I guess it was meant to be an alleyway between two very large mansions in the city. The millionaire went to the neighbor on one side and asked him if he would like to buy it. The neighbor said, "Well, as a favor to you, I'll buy it." And then he offered a ridiculously low price. The millionaire exploded. "The property is worth at least 10 times that." He went next door to the other neighbor, and this neighbor offered him even less. Well, this multimillionaire, who lived in a comfortable mansion in the suburbs, became furious and refused to forgive these two people that tried, in his mind, to cheat him. What did he do? He built a house in between their two homes, 5 feet wide, 100 feet long, truly ugly, and so dysfunctional that you could only get a few pieces of furniture in it. Of course, the neighbors were furious. They tried everything they could to have it torn down or prevent it, but there was no code against it. And so the only rule was that someone had to be living there. The multimillionaire couldn't find anyone to live in such a tiny little strange house, so he left his own mansion and moved into it. And there he lived until he died. This is a true story. He was so full of anger and bitterness, he would not forgive those who he thought had offended him. The house is known as Spite House. Want to hear something sad? I went online to find out more about Spite House, and I discovered that it was not the only one in our country. In 1716, in Marblehead, Massachusetts, someone built a house to shadow and bring down the property values in a neighborhood. 1716. And the list went on and on, I found on computer. 1806 in Maine, 1814 in Frederick, Maryland, 1830 in Alexandria, Virginia. And then I came across what you may have some knowledge about, Boston's Skinny House. This is a house that two brothers grew up in. The older brother inherited. The younger brother felt slighted, even though he got as much stock and money. So what he did was build a house that shadowed and brought down the property values. And that house still stands in Boston, known as Skinny House. What we go to when we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to open ourselves up to God's grace. So here's the question that I'm going to ask you. Is there anyone in this sanctuary this morning who is living in his or her own spite house? In other words, what I'm asking you in the name of God, is there anyone, including yourself, that you have not forgiven? Do you hold a grudge against someone, a spiteful grudge? The truth, as we look at this brokenness in our world, is that it is, in most parts, self-inflicted. We do it to ourselves. But there is also that hopeful, wonderful note that there are many among us who take seriously the message of Jesus Christ, that we are able to forgive. God is very clear. He wants us to be a people of forgiveness. That is what makes us as Christians so very unique. Many people know how to love. It is the value and virtue of forgiveness that truly makes us who we are. Forgiveness is what Jesus is referring to and speaking of this morning. 3 points about it. The first one is, forgiveness is for the forgiver more than those to be forgiven. How important it is that the person forgives. Comedian Buddy Hackett used to laugh about this, and one of his jokes was, while you're home sulking, the person you refuse to forgive is out dancing. How true that is. A lot of times, the people that we have grudges against don't even know it. It's not affecting their life, but it's certainly destroying ours because we will not forgive. To not forgive, it devours us, and it will, as Jesus tells us, destroy us. There's a cute story about a little boy who's having a big fight with his little sister, and they fought all day long. Anybody here know about children fighting like that? No. Okay. Well, my family was quite that way. In this story, at the end of the day, the mother comes, sits on the end of the bed, and says to her little son, before we say our prayers tonight, don't you think you should forgive your little sister? For after all, the Bible teaches us that you should not let the sun go down on your anger. The little boy thought for a moment and then said, well, there's the problem. How can I stop and keep the sun from going down? Some of us adults are just as bad. One of my favorite poets is Edwin Markham. Edwin Markham was born in 1852 in Oregon Territory. He had a very difficult life. His parents divorced early, and Edwin spent most of his life traveling. He never made much money. He was a poor man, and he wrote his poetry and lived his life lifting up those who were poor like himself, the working class. Now, Edwin, as I say, didn't have many resources, not money-wise, but he did have a friend that he trusted very much. And so throughout his life, he gave this friend money to put away for his retirement. When Edwin retired, he discovered that his friend had stolen all of his money. Edwin was old and penniless, and Edwin became really bitter. He became so bitter that he could no longer write his poetry. One day, Edwin sat at his desk just doodling because he was too angry to write anything, when suddenly he had a vision. He felt the Holy Spirit come to him. And Edwin says, it was as if Jesus was speaking right there beside him and saying to him, if you do not deal with this thing, it is going to truly destroy you. You cannot afford the price you are paying by not forgiving. At that moment, Edwin Markham forgave that man for what he had done. And suddenly the miracle happened. The poetry began. And Edwin Markham wrote a poem that I learned many years ago. You may have too. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Showing my age here, I learned that over 60 years ago in school. And I can't tell you how many times throughout my life I have quoted that little poem to myself and asked God for the strength and the grace to forgive people that I feel have hurt me. Whether they have or not, I'm not sure, but I had that sense. But I know how important it has been all of my life to forgive and to forgive quickly. And I will stand here and say it is a very selfish thing because I forgive mainly for me. Because the quicker I forgive, the quicker Jesus has taught me that I can go on with my life. First, forgiveness is for the forgiver. Second, forgiveness is to put the past in the past. Truly, there is nothing sadder in this world than to see someone who lives in the past, who just won't let go. Maybe when we look around on television and other things, why there are so many angry people in this world and in our society, that there is so much road rage and ugly remarks and unkind things, is because people just cannot put the past in the past. They just can't lay it down. And they get so full of anger. Forgive and forgive quickly and let things be in the past. Recently, there was a story in the newspaper about a dentist who moved to Minneapolis. He moved into a house that had been abandoned or vacant for a long time, and the neighborhood children had started playing in the backyard. They left litter and they rode their bikes across the lawn. Now, the dentist came to them and politely asked them if they would stop doing that. But when he would come home in the evening, there was still litter in the backyard and bike marks on the front lawn. The dentist could have called the police. He could have done a lot of different things. He could have scolded or threatened, but he didn't. He decided to just let things go by. Bygones be bygones. It wasn't easy, but it was his decision. Then one day, one of the teens came to his office. The teen didn't have enough money in his family to pay for the dental work he needed, but the dentist simply did it and did it free. Didn't say a word. But then the dentist noticed something. He would come home in the evening and mysteriously the lawn had been mowed, the gardens tended, no litter anywhere. One day the dentist was on the street and saw this teen and simply said, "Thank you." And the teen looked back and said, "Well, after all, the Bible says, a tooth for a tooth." Both learned a lesson, didn't they? The dentist could have lived in the past. The dentist could have held on to things that were hurtful, but he didn't. One of my favorite passages, Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See that the Lord God is doing a new thing." We forgive mainly for ourselves. And we forgive so that we can put the past where it belongs, in the past, so that we can move forward. And finally, and maybe most compelling of what Jesus is saying to us, is that we forgive because God has forgiven us. We have been forgiven. When Peter asked Jesus this question, "How many times should I forgive?" and Jesus responds, 70 times 7, do you know what Jesus is referring to? He is going back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 23, when Lamech feels that he has been wronged. And what Lamech does is he decides that everybody's going to know that he'd been wronged, and he is going to get even. And he is not going to forgive, and he is going to punish this man and even his family for generations. So Lamech is known for the fact that time after time and generation after generation, he carried that grudge 70 times 7. Jesus does just the opposite. He tells us to forgive one another 70 times 7. And yes, before you all start doing your multiplication in your head, I think we know what Jesus is saying. Forgive, forgive from your heart, forgive freely, that God give you that grace. The second little point about what Peter is saying that I pick up on, you probably did too, is that Peter says, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister? Come on, Peter. You act as if you haven't offended your brother and sister by saying that I will forgive. How many times have you hurt someone else? This scripture appears just before the Passion and just before Maundy Thursday, where Peter will deny Jesus three times. And somehow I think that Peter, as he sat on that first Good Friday morning, weeping over what he had done, the words of Jesus must have come to him, the words of forgiveness. And Peter must have known, even in this moment, that the Lord God forgave him for his betrayal. We have hurt others as well. There is no one in this sanctuary who can say that we have not, because we have. And as they have tried to forgive us, then we must learn to forgive them. Forgiveness, it is what Jesus is really picking up on. It is for us. It is to put the past in the past. And it is to celebrate the fact that God has forgiven us. This scripture comes at a point when Jesus is putting together the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very conscious of putting us together as congregations, as his church. And he wants us to be unique in the sense of being able to forgive. He calls on us to be people of forgiveness. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, many people can love. What makes us so unique as Christians is that we place a great emphasis and strive to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. The name of the game is forgiveness. And when we are willing to turn to God and find the grace to forgive one another, then we can have true communion with God. But if we do not forgive, then we push God and everyone else away. Reading this scripture, the last seems very harsh. Jesus says, basically, if you're not willing to forgive your neighbor, then the Heavenly Father is not willing to forgive you. Pretty strong words. That's how important this scripture is to Jesus. He wants us to be a people of forgiveness. He wants us to understand how important this is. Is there someone in your life that you have not forgiven? I want you to really think about that for a moment, right here in this sanctuary. And maybe the person that you haven't forgiven is you yourself. I know that that is true for me. I'm pretty hard on myself. And sometimes I don't forgive myself as God would want me to. Forgiveness. Has it broken your life in some sense? Has it broken some relationship, even within family or deep friendship? Because you have not been able to forgive. We cannot forgive by ourselves. I know I don't have the power in me to forgive. It sometimes takes a lot of prayer, a lot of time, a lot of struggle coming within me, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I know that when I am able finally to forgive, I know that it is God and the Holy Spirit has brought me to this. And it brings me even closer to my Lord Jesus Christ and this whole feeling of what's going on, of forgiveness. A 9-year-old little girl was going out the door. She was going out, it was Christmas, and she was going to buy her brother a Christmas present, her younger brother. As she started to leave, she discovered that this younger brother had broken one of her favorite toys. She flew into a rage, so angry, and she decided that she would never let her brother play with her toys again. And what's more, she wouldn't buy him a Christmas present. She stormed off to her room. A little while later, she came back into the kitchen, put on her coat, and told her mother, I'm going out. Going where? Said her mother. I'm going to buy my brother a Christmas present, the little girl replied. And the mother looked surprised. The little girl simply whispered to her, well, after all, he is my brother, isn't he? Is it that simple? We began a few minutes ago by saying that this is a broken world. And we cannot run away from it. because it's here all around us, because we ourselves are broken. How do we cope? The Lord Jesus Christ reveals that in the scripture today. He tells us that the answer is forgive. Because when we forgive, the healing begins. Beloved, let the healing begin. Pray with me. Lord God, often the brokenness around us is due to our lack of forgiveness, our lack of being able to live in the present and in the future, our desire for revenge or to hurt others. We see it all around us, Lord. But you have put us together as your church that we may be a light to all other people. Let the world look at Greenwood Community Church and see a congregation of people who are quick to forgive one another, quick to respond to the forgiveness that is given. Let this congregation show your love by the way of forgiveness. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.